Psalms that I did not preach when I preached through the Psalms. Somehow I missed it. So, Psalm 9. To the chief musician, to the tune of Death of the Son, a Psalm of David, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in righteousness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in a pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Salah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be men. Salah. Here's a psalm that David wrote about times of trouble, about times of difficulty, about times where it seems that the wicked were winning, but he knows that in the end God will win. And so David has, number one, committed himself to praise. He says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. David's commitment is seen in his repeated, I will. Every line in these first two verses starts with, I will. I will praise you, I will tell of all your, I will be glad, I will sing. This I will is meaning that David is making a vow to God. He's saying, this is something I have determined to do. I'm determined to praise you. I'm determined to tell of your marvelous works. I'm determined to be glad and rejoice in you. Even if he didn't have other things to rejoice in, he's determined to rejoice in the Lord. And he's determined to sing praise to the name of the Lord. This is the King of Israel who's telling everybody where he stands. He's determined to praise God and nothing's going to stop him. Praise directly to God, verse 1. A wholehearted praise. Have you ever considered worshiping or while worshiping how much of your heart is given to praise? He says his whole heart is given to it. To worship, how much your heart is given to worship, how much you're into the worship when you're worshiping. How much worship do you really to God? Does he have half of your heart, three quarters of your heart? Or does he have the whole heart like David had? When you are tried or tired, do you arouse your heart? Do you say, heart, you're too slow? Heart, you're only half-hearted, please. Be wholehearted for God because that's what he deserves. He says he would tell, meaning he would preach, he would do evangelism. Preaching and telling others is what God has done. And here he says, I will tell of your marvelous works. David could tell of the marvelous works that were done in the older Testament than himself, how Moses led the people through the Red Sea, or about the plagues, or even in his own life, he could tell about how he defeated Goliath. And it was God who did all of these things. And then he's determined to rejoice. He rejoices internally with his heart. He knows and enjoys himself what God has done. And then again, in the last part of verse 2, he praises God again, doubling it up with praise. Secondly, in the psalm we read of David's reasons for praise. Why is he praising God like this? He says, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Here, the word repeated is you. The first it was I will, but now it's you, and he's focused on God. And he repeats the word you five times in these next verses 3, 4, and 5. And God and David's enemies have been destroyed. As I said earlier, Egypt was destroyed. Pharaoh was destroyed. Goliath and the Philistines were destroyed. Saul, the king who was before David, who David did not really count an enemy, but he was an enemy to David, and he was destroyed. Both Darcy Sproul and John Calvin say David's reasons for and commitment to praise were not for victories that David was currently, at the time he wrote this psalm, experiencing, but for past victories. And so they are saying what David is doing is he's going through a hard time, he's going through a difficult time where he's not seeing all the victories, and yet he's determined to remember what God has done and to praise him for what he's done before rather than moan or groan about the now. Fact is, David did see more victories in his youth than he did in his old age. But the difficulties of age and of sin, and David had his sins, require more mature faith. And that's what we see in David. After he had failed, after he had sinned, he needed more mature faith, and that's what we see. He needed a greater effort to praise. He needed a greater commitment to praise, and we're seeing that in these verses. You could ask yourself, do you have answered prayers in your past that you can look back to? Even when now maybe you're praying and it seems your prayers are hitting the ceiling, they're not going up to God, but you remember when you were 20 or 30, you had these prayers answered. You remember other prayers that other people prayed. Can you think of great things God has done? Whether they are biblical things or whether they're things that he has done in your life, can you think and remember of those things? That's what David is doing here. Number three, we see David's rebuke of his enemy because of his confidence in God. He says, O enemy, meaning he's speaking right to his enemy now in the psalm, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. There are people in this world who've done horrible things and they've destroyed cities. And David knew some people like this who had done things like this. And his enemies had destroyed cities. The memory of these cities as far as human beings were concerned, was gone because they were totally wiped out. And yet in verse 7 and 7 through 9, David tells this enemy, the Lord endures. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in unrighteousness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 9, verses 7 through 9. The point is, God who endures judges the wicked, and the wicked will not escape and go unpunished. They think, well, we've defeated our enemies. We've wiped them off the earth. And we are going to brag about our conquests. And yet their conquest is not eternal. God endures forever. God wins in the end. Even the forgotten are not forgotten by God. Verse 12. Those who are forgotten by the world and forgotten by others, God remembers. He shall judge, it says verse 8. He shall judge the world in righteousness. Henry Smith wrote this. He said, the silly sheep, when she is taken, will not bleat. But you may carry her and do what harm you will with her, and she will be subject. But the swine, if he be once taken, she will roar and cry and think she's never taken but to be slain. You know, he's talking about the godly. The godly endure difficulties, and they trust God when they go through difficulties. They are like the sheep, but the swine or the pig is the ungodly. They scream at the very smallest of God's providence being against them. The point Henry Smith is making is that God's people, Christ's lands, will be in peace, even under all kinds of trials, because while they go through those trials, they're still in God's arms. Yet being in God's arms at all to an ungodly person causes great alarm and fear to the point that they squeal like pigs. A good point. Yelling and stirring fear about catastrophic global warming is such a thing. It doesn't even exist. It's a totally made up thing. But they scream about it. The world's going to be destroyed. It's not. God's in control. Number 4. David's confidence in God expresses directly to God. He says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Even in the worst of times, God's people still trust him. God's people trust him in those difficult times when whether they're sick, whether there's an enemy winning against them, whatever circumstance they're in, they trust God. God does not forget. He does not forsake his people. People who seek him, people who pray to him, they always have God to answer. They always have God caring for them and watching over them. Number 5, David's call to others to praise God. It's not enough for him that he praises God himself, but he would encourage others to praise. He says, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Remember I said, you know, those humble people, they were wiped out by the ungodly. But God does not forget them. They are always in his hands. In Romans it says that about the Romans themselves, they were like sheep to the slaughter. They were being slaughtered in Rome. And yet God did not forget them. What happened when they died? When they seemed so weak, they went right up to heaven. And that's why God says, you are more than conquerors through him who loves you. It is said of Abel's blood that it cried. Genesis 4:10. And he said, what have you done? This is, he's talking, God talking to the king. And he says, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. It cries out for vengeance. We don't hear God, blood crying, but God does, and he will avenge. Number six, David's prayer to God. David asks for continued mercy that he might continue to praise. He says in verse 13, have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You have lifted me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. I'm not sure when this was written by David. It might have been after Absalom had chased after him. Later in his life, maybe even when he was older, because he was infirm in bed by the time he was 75, and he really could not fight with his enemies anymore. He only had God to help him to fight them. And so he had to be that way. Number two, David sees and expresses the end of the wicked. Verses 15 and 16, he says, the nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's the judgment that God brings upon them. They may have a short-lived victory. They may have a short time where they think, we are in control, we are in power, we are defeating all our enemies. But it is always short-lived, because God will get them. They will fall even into the pit that they made for others. Just like Haman. Remember Haman in the book of Esther? He built this great gallows very high for Mordecai. But who ends up hanging on it? Haman himself. And the wicked who do wicked things, they will be, as it says in verse 17, turned into hell. Number three, there are times it seems wickedness wins and the needy are forgotten, but this is always temporary. God's justice is eternal. Verses 18 through 20, it says, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Do not let men prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Sometimes wicked people, they think there is no God, or they think themselves to be like gods. They think they are unbeatable, and yet, and the needy seem to have no answer and no salvation. But the Lord is there for the needy. The Lord is there to help his own, and the wicked will be destroyed. B. Boothroyd said, the face of Jehovah is against them that do evil. His face, meaning his angry face, it's always against wickedness. It's always that way. Sometimes it might not seem that way, because the world has so much wickedness in it. But in the end, they will be judged. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the things that it tells us about the judgment of the wicked, about the salvation of the righteous. Even when the righteous seem forgotten, even when their cause seems so lost, you are still in control. You are still in power. And one day, Father, your kingdom will come and your will be done. And there will be an end of all the wickedness that we see in this world. And as it says in the book of Revelation, every tear will be dried. All pain would be ended. Death will be ended for those who love you. And yet those who are wicked, as it says in this passage, will be turned into hell. Father, we pray that you might help us to walk with you, help us to praise you, help us to commit ourselves to praise and righteousness as David did, and help us to overcome our weaknesses, our half-heartedness, whatever might slow us. We pray that you'd help us to do your will and do it right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.